Now, we're closing out this exceptional series today. It's the last lesson of the exceptional series. And we're going to kind of close with a practical reality that you and I are working with, that we are living within, in this exceptionality that we are. Last week we said that exceptional is not just something that you do, or it doesn't apply specifically to your circumstance or situation. It actually is how God wants to identify you as an individual. You are exceptional. We discovered that Jesus was exceptional because of how he came back to life, and that the power that was within him raised him from the dead. We talked about the difference between exceptional and normal being an internal thing. All of these things have been revelations throughout the course of this series. But today, our big idea is this, that exceptional must be expressed to make a difference. Exceptional must be expressed to make a difference. We've talked about Jesus and we've talked about Joseph. And we've talked about both being exceptional in very, very unique ways. And they did amazing things, and beautiful, beautiful results came from their exceptionality. But if they did not express the exceptionality within them, then nothing would have shifted. In fact, Israel would have died of starvation. Egypt would have not made it through the famine. And you and I today would not be saved by grace through faith. We would still be operating under the law of Moses, as Israel did for many, many, many years. That would be the case because the exceptionality that was Christ would not have been expressed. The expression of his exceptionality changed the dynamic of the whole. Exceptionality must be expressed to make a difference. You must express what is within you, and the scripture gives us some guidelines for that expression. Here's our text for today, Acts chapter number 1, verses 6 through 8. The scripture reads this way, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, "So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, 'Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?' And he replied," so this is Jesus talking to his disciples, those who've walked with him, those who are carrying on his message, those who he is tasked with raising up what will become the church. And this is what he says, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus is telling them where they should be focused. He's saying you'll receive power from God. And that power will exist for one purpose, to express Christ in the world. That's why I'm going to give you this power. The exceptional one brings the revelation. And the Holy Spirit's purpose is to continue revealing Jesus to the world. That's why the Holy Spirit is working in your life. And he's working in my life. He expresses Christ in the world and to the world through you and me. We are the expression of Christ on earth. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 27, says this very clearly. It says, "All of you together," that's all of us, every believer, he's writing to all the believers. He says, "You together are Christ's body, and each of you is part of it." So you're part of it, and I'm part of it, but we together are the whole body of Christ. Every believer that's ever lived and ever will live and are living right now, we together are the body of Christ. We are expressing Christ into the world even after he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. It's the expression of Christ in the world, and it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And these verses in the book of Acts offer us three thoughts on how we can use our exceptionality to express Christ in the world. Now, these are kind of practical, but they're also very powerful. And here's thought number one. Thought number one is keep your focus on things you can influence. Keep your focus on things you can influence. There is a lot of things in this world right now that we cannot influence. And he is telling us, Jesus is telling his disciples, keep your focus on things you can influence. It's not easy because we often focus on the things that we cannot move instead of focusing on the things that we can. We find the problem instead of seeing the solution that we can be part of. The disciples in this passage, they are focused upon a kingdom that they have never had, that they have never seen, that they do not know what it would take to even run such a kingdom on earth. They don't know what it's like to be in charge because they've never been in charge. And yet they're pining for something that they've never seen. And Jesus is telling them, hey, focus on what you have seen. Focus on being a witness of what you do know and who you did know. Focus on that. And he wasn't incredibly polite about it. They're saying, hey, will you tell us when we're going to be able to usher in this new kingdom and we as Jews and we as Israel will not be in subjection to the Romans anymore? And Jesus says, hey, listen, that is for the Father to know. He's keeping that to himself. It's not within your control. And ultimately, it's none of your business. So get your nose out of the Father's business and put your nose into the business that you have been that you've been directed towards, and you will be empowered for. But it's easier to dream of things yet unseen. It's easier for us to dream of things that have yet to be versus manage the things that we actually have in our hands. It's a simpler process. It doesn't take as much work. It doesn't take as much intention. It doesn't take as much focus. We can dream about everything and how it should be this way and that way and the other. We can look at situations around us and have all kinds of ideas about what it should look like, when oftentimes the situation in our own lives aren't what they could be if we would focus ourselves upon them. Many people can tell you what you should do in your life. In your house, raising your kids, working your job. But it doesn't mean that their world and their life and their kids and their job is all working out just fine. It may be better for them to kind of pull out of your life a little bit and focus a little bit more intentionally upon their own. I'm smiling when I say this. We all struggle in this area. Because it's just easier to see what we and have ideas about and thoughts on the things that we cannot control. Here's the reality. Your exceptionality will be expressed in your area of influence. Your exceptionality will be expressed in your area of influence. You cannot shine in the areas you cannot influence. If you can't influence it, you cannot shine within it. So somebody's looking at you and saying, this is what you should do with your job, and this is how you should manage that relationship in your life. I love it whenever people start the conversation by saying, well, if it was me, well, it ain't you. Get into what is you and focus on that. So you can't shine in areas that you can't influence, and you won't shine in areas that you ignore. If you ignore it, you cannot shine within it. So if you're so focused on what you aren't or what you don't have, and you ignore what is you, well, if that were me, well, that's not you. So focus on what is you. And you may find that you can go to places that you never dreamed possible simply because you've put your focus in the right place. Stop complaining about what the neighbors are doing in their world. Stop complaining about what others are doing. We complain a lot about what the government's doing, what the president's doing, what the governor's doing. Whether we like them or dislike them politically, we focus our attention on what they are doing, not knowing for a moment what it means to walk in their shoes, just like no one knows what it means to walk in yours. Now, I am not in for a second saying that you should not have an opinion politically on what's going on in our country right now or elsewhere. That is your privilege. That is your right, and I believe we should focus and we should rather vote our conscience when that time comes. But what I am encouraging us in is don't spend too much time trying to figure out what the president ought to be doing while ignoring what you and I should be doing in our own lives. And you can insert any other person where I just said president. Jesus said, focus. That's not your business. This is your business. Witness about me. You can influence that. So in this season, don't worry so much and don't spend so much time being concerned with wishing about things that are outside of your control, but focus on the things you can influence. And that brings us to thought number two. Thought number two is invest yourself completely. Invest yourself completely. Thought number one is keep your focus on things you can influence. And thought number two is invest yourself completely. So Jesus is brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. And he says, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now that is a phenomenal statement, one that we can all get excited about and all get behind and all be thrilled about receiving this power. But he shares that before he shares the next part of his statement. He's pretty intentional about how he communicates this, because the next part of his statement says, and you will be my witnesses. Now, we read that and we think a witness on a witness stand in a courtroom or what have you, or somebody that's telling what they saw about something. But if you look at that word witnesses, it is the word martis. In the original language, in the Greek language, it's martis, which is now our word martyr. That's where the etymology of the word martyr began. Because it originally just meant a witness to something. But so many of the disciples lost their lives witnessing about what they knew of Christ that it slowly over years began to be used as someone who lost their lives or sacrificed much for the cause of their faith. So Jesus is telling them, you're going to receive power because you're about to become martis for me and of me. You will be my martyrs in the world, but you will have power to operate in that particular place, to be my witnesses. Now, the disciple John, the apostle John, understood this. Look at 1 John chapter 1. It says this. He says, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have seen and heard. So he is telling us right from the very beginning, he's saying, I am a witness of this. I've seen and I've heard. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. I want you to be part of us. I want you to be part of this body of Christ, part of this family that God is building. I want you to be part of that. So I'm sharing all of this information with you. And our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And then verse 4, he makes it very clear. He says, we are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. You cannot fully share the joy that we have unless you understand these things. So I am sharing what I have seen, what I have heard, what I have experienced. In essence, John is a witness. He's investing himself completely. He is saying, I'm investing my memory. I'm investing my personal experience. I'm investing my reputation. I'm investing my entire life to share with you what I know about Jesus. After reading what he writes, there is no way that someone could distance John from what he saw, what he heard, and what he said. There is no way that you could invalidate what John said without invalidating John himself. John is saying, I'm putting my whole self in to this thing. I used to is probably not accurate. When you go to places and they want to do the hokey pokey dance, I despise the hokey pokey dance. I don't like putting my left arm, my right arm, any foot involved. I don't care to put any of that in or take any of that out into any part of the process. None of it. And I hate the most when they say put your whole self in and put your whole self out. I am so far gone, you can't see me for the dust whenever they get to that particular part of the song, because I don't want to invest myself in flopping around like a fish at this particular event with the hokey pokey dance. Now, I've gotten that off my chest. I feel a little better now. But bottom line is, I don't like to invest myself in this process. But in Christ, he doesn't give us the opportunity to go halfway. You're either a witness for him, I'm either a martyr for him, or I'm not. I'm either all in with him, or I'm not all in with him. And modernity allows us to distance ourselves from this personal investment aspect of Christianity. We can share our opinions online without investing our identity. We can use things like VPNs or comment anonymously on things. We don't have to let anybody know even what country we're from if we don't want to. Other people share only those things. They share only with others who have the same experiences. So I'm a Christian, so I only hang out with other Christians. I'm only fellowshipping with those who believe it and see it exactly the same way that I do. And oftentimes we only reference God after we find out that someone else is a believer. So after I know that you're with me in our understanding of Christ, now I'll talk about, but that's not being a witness for him. That's not witnessing. That's agreeing with another person about him. And he's called us to be a testimony, a witness of who he is and what he is. Now, some even go to a little further extent and they don't share anything at all. They don't share with people that they know are believers or people that are not believers. They just don't share anything at all. And the response or the statement that I hear most often in from this category of person is they say, well, my faith is private. My faith is private. But the reality is we are wanting to accept the power and authority of God without the responsibility that comes with it. He's given us the Holy Spirit for the purpose of being witnesses. And we are asking for the power without the witness. The final words of Christ while on this earth, and in fact the rest of the New Testament, point believers to two specific things. One, he says, align your life, my life, with Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. Align our lives with Christ. And secondly, be witnesses of Christ to others. Nothing here allows us to remain silent. No part of this allows us to say, I'm not going to share who I am or what Christ has done. In fact, all of it compels us to be his witnesses. And you might say, well, that makes me uncomfortable, that I don't like that. That's just not who I am. And this is where he calls us martis, martyrs. We have to die to ourself in order to witness of him. And I'm fully aware that for some people that's easier than others. But for all of us, there's an area of sacrifice. For all of us. And that brings us to thought number three. And that is one word. Speak. It doesn't get any more practical or direct than that. Speak. The purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit was to be witnesses for Christ in the world. And your witness unlocks your power. Your witness unlocks your power. A power supply, think about a power supply. It releases power when the right conditions are met. If the right conditions are not met, then nothing happens. If you plug a extension cord into the power outlet and you don't put any pull on that extension cord, then it sits there and does nothing. Nothing happens. No power runs through it. It doesn't release any power. Nothing happens. But if you plug your vacuum cleaner up to that extension cord and you hit the power button on your vacuum cleaner, then suddenly your vacuum goes, whoo! Now that's a very technical term. I hope you got that. You might want to write it down. All of you engineers out there, write that down. Whoo! What's happening is you hit that button and it makes a demand on the power. And so now power begins to flow through that extension cord and into your vacuum cleaner. And suddenly that engine gets hit with that power and it comes alive. Where it was dead before, it's alive now. Where you were dead in your trespasses and sins, you are now alive with Christ. You're alive with him, empowered by the Holy Spirit. What happened is you made a demand on him. You came to him and said, I don't know how to do this. I need a savior. And you said, I'm going to accept all of you and you're going to get all of me. And when he looked at you and he looked at your situation, he said, that's all jacked up. And I need to do something about that. But to do something about it is going to require some power. And so as soon as he touched your life, power came out of him. If you think about the woman with the issue of blood in the scripture, Jesus is walking through the crowd, all kinds of people touching him. But it was only one person that when she touched him, just the hem of his garment, he said, whoa, who touched me? Something happened. Because she put a demand on his power that no one else in the crowd was putting upon him. And he knew that power flowed through him. So when you are saved, you become a house of God's power. God's power is connected to your life. And when the right conditions are met, power begins to flow through you. The Holy Spirit's power begins to flow through you. What is that draw? What is that load that's being put upon that power source? The witness. It's the witness. It's when you were living your life to testify of Christ Jesus. And I'm not talking about standing in the middle of a grocery store or a park and just simply talking to people about Christ. That is part of being a witness. But when we live our lives as a whole, as a witness to him, it's putting a draw on his power. And that power is flowing through you. It changes everything. The source is Christ, and you are the conduit. You don't control the power, but if you don't allow it to flow, then the situation remains dead. In fact, the scripture says it this way in Ephesians chapter 3. He says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. The power is at work within us. Are we releasing the power into the world around us? And when you open up, when you begin to speak with your life, then that power flows. It's not easy. And sometimes people say things like, well, I don't actually say words, I just live my life. And people can see the difference of my life. And that is true. There's truth to that, and I'm not knocking that. But that's like spiritual charades. They watch your life and then they guess what's going on and why it might be so. How about let's be a witness who is intentionally sharing what's going on in their world, the experience that they've had. How do we do that? We do that with the activity and the decisions of our lives, and we do it with the words of our mouth. Jesus could have just lived a perfect life and never taught anything. And he would have been a sacrifice, but he would not have left a legacy. It's whenever he lived the perfect life and then he taught others how to do it as well. In fact, if you look at the Great Commission, every part of the Great Commission, every piece of the Great Commission, it's all about how we have received something and now we share it with others around us. You might say, well, no, I'm not Jesus though, Pastor. I'm not Jesus. So I don't have to do what Jesus does. No, no. I agree. You and I both agree. You are not Jesus. We agree. And neither am I. But just as the Father spoke into the world through Jesus Christ, so Jesus Christ speaks into the world through you and through me, his church, his body. So if you don't speak, we restrict his ability to speak. Now that's a heavy responsibility for you. It's a heavy responsibility for me. But it calls to us, open our mouths and let God work through us as the Holy Spirit flows. Now is not the time for Christians to sit back. It's time for us to lean forward and to speak the good news of Jesus Christ into the world around us. In fact, here's a statement. I hope you get this. Take a picture of your screen when it comes up in just a moment. But if we fall short of making a difference today, it will not be because we were a powerless church. It will be because we were a silent church. The power is in you. It's in me. Let's release it into the world around us. Wisdom shares the words that meets the need. So find the area of need. Speak as Christ speaks. The authority of Christ is in you. So let it flow. Speak worlds into existence. Speak life into dead things. Speak hope into hopeless situations. Speak peace where there's turmoil and issue and trouble. Just speak. Speak love where it seems to be dead and gone. Speak hope into hopelessness. Speak power into weakness. Just speak. 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 We've recognized that saying that you are an exceptionality, that you are exceptional, that isn't just hype. That is deep biblical truth. And your exceptionality is what testifies, it's what witnesses of God's work in your life. And so today, I'd ask you to just bow your heads with me for a moment and just ask the question, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this service? What are you saying in my life? Maybe you've never allowed him to be your Lord and Savior. And if that's the case, I'm going to ask you to just pray with me right now. Right there in the safety and comfort of wherever you may be, your home, your car, just pray with me. Lord Jesus, I love you. I repent of all my sins, anything I've done that displeases you. I turn away from it right now. And I ask you to forgive me. I accept everything that is of you. And I reject everything that is of myself. Today I give you me. And I accept you as my Lord, as my Savior. And I thank you that from this day forward, you are my God and I am your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Maybe today you've been saved, but you know you haven't kept your focus in the right place. It's time to refocus. Maybe you've held back on the investment of yourself. You love Jesus, you know him, but you have not been willing to allow anyone else to know. You are a secret agent of Christ. And he's asking you to be a public declarer of his goodness in your life. Maybe it's time for you to just open your mouth and speak. If you were saved today, if you prayed that prayer with us for the first time, or the first time in a long time, then I would ask you to do us the favor. Allow us to celebrate with you by texting the word saved to the number 419-419-1565. 419-419-1565. And I am so thankful, I am so grateful for the many people over these last few weeks that have texted to that number that they made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. And I would love to be able to celebrate the same with you. But I'm going to ask you to just, whatever situation you may be in, as the team begins to sing this last song in closing, I encourage you today, open yourself to him. Let him speak to you and change your reality. Become proud of being a child of the King. And open your mouth and speak. In Jesus' name, amen.